Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading appointed for this day is found in Acts chapter 4, beginning at the 13th verse. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel reading serves as today's sermon text. It is recorded in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't mess with the LWML. Taken out of context, that sounds kind of threatening, doesn't it? After all, our LWML ladies are very humble servants of the church here and of the church at large, and they take their work for the Lord very seriously, so that statement sounds kind of odd. Taken out of context. Let me put it into context for you. This past June at the Lutheran Women's Missionary League rally, the convention that's held in Peoria, Illinois, the big convention, Dr. Ken Klaus, the Lutheran Hour speaker emeritus, was there to share some words with the ladies. Here's what he said, and now I'll put those words within the context of what he said. "In my third year at the seminary, I was assigned a vicarage congregation where I could razzle and dazzle the Lutheran laity with the wisdom for which they had been longing for. With eagerness, enthusiasm, and excitement, I entered the presence of my vicarage supervisor through a series of commandments not found in any translation or any paraphrase of the Bible. He shared with me that my seminary education might not be as complete as I had thought it was. It was simple. This commandment went, the wise vicar doesn't mess around with his vicarage pastor. The second commandment was like unto the first, the wise pastor doesn't mess with the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. The look in his eye, the tone of his voice told me he wasn't joking. Over the decades since that meeting, this is Dr. Klaus, have learned many things. None has been more important than the truth I received that day. The wise pastor doesn't mess with the LWML. The years have taught me that if the president of my congregation's LWML showed up in my office and made the prophetic pronouncement, we're going to raise $50,000 to paint the church, then I knew I needed to go directly to the hardware store to pick out the colors. If the LWML told me we're going to increase attendance at Sunday school's Bible study, then I knew I needed to put in an order for more chairs. And if they said they were going to live on the edge, I'm not going to sneer, I'm not going to smirk or snicker or smile. True, when I first heard the theme, being with Jesus, living on the edge, for a second, I did imagine the LWML president bungee jumping off a mile-high bridge. But then I realized if that act would promote the cause of Christ and help save lost souls, I knew that she would say, sign me up. And she wouldn't be the first Lutheran woman to live on the edge. I don't know what you ladies here at Trinity thought, or if any of you attended that or heard this or read this, but I don't know if you've ever thought of yourselves as women living on the edge. That almost sounds like an extreme sport kind of concept. But you know, there have been many women in the church that have actually been living life on the edge. When you think of life in terms of living for Christ and what all that means, thousands of women throughout our synod who have served faithfully their Lord. Women in the church began living life on the edge, we can say, all the way back to the time of Jesus Christ when he was here on the face of this earth in the flesh. I'd just like to briefly share the story of just four of those women. Just days before Jesus was going to die, these women had already been gathering, wondering what was going on with Jesus' predictions of his death. These four women that I mentioned are Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, who is the steward, by the way, of Herod, Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus had freed her from seven demons that were disturbing her, and Salome, the mother of James and John. These four women got up early one Sunday morning because they were going to finish the burial of someone that they had dearly loved. Just days before, these women had been standing at the foot of a cross. They were watching from the foot of the cross, and they would have noticed the moment of Jesus' death. As long as he was alive on that cross, they would have also noticed his body heaving and writhing in pain, how he would be gasping for air, how he would have struggled and strained under the suffering and the enormous pain that he endured. They would have witnessed the actual moment of death, when his body would grow limp and silent and still. Courageously, these four women watched as his corpse was taken down from the cross, and bravely they watched as he was laid in a nearby tomb. Sadly enough, though, they noted that preparation couldn't be done as far as the burial preparation until Sunday morning. Think of all the things that must have been going on in these women's minds when they approached the tomb that Sunday morning. They were totally astonished when they saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Their minds must have been racing, and they must have been starting to ask questions like, did the owner of this tomb have second thoughts, and now they've moved Jesus somewhere else? And if so, where has it been placed? Had someone maybe stolen the corpse of Jesus? Shall they tell the authorities? Fearing the worst, these women went ahead and approached this empty tomb, gathering their courage and respectfully, slowly, reverently, tentatively entered Jesus' grave. The Gospel of Mark then tells us what happened next. They saw a young man sitting on the right side of the walk-in tomb. He was dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen." And then that glorious moment when Jesus actually came to those women and appeared before them and gave them a mission. This we could consider the first mission of the Lutheran women who believe in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. The first mission given by the resurrected Christ, to go and tell the disciples that he has risen. That truth meant that they would always be living with Jesus. It meant that they would always be living life on the edge. And Jesus talked in his lifetime, in his ministry with his disciples, time and again about living life on the edge, about boldly sharing the gospel without fear, courageously telling everyone that they would meet. He tells them in our gospel, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So when you and I are boldly asked to go and talk to our family, our friends, our neighbors about Jesus, how many of us are quick to say, "Oh, I don't think so. I'm not an evangelist. I don't have that gift. I really don't know what to say. I'm not a very good speaker. You really wouldn't want me to go and share the gospel. I feel like maybe I'd be put on the spot with a question and I wouldn't know how to answer it." Wow. That sounds a lot like, well, like Moses in our Old Testament reading. How many of us are like Moses when we're called to go and be put on the mission of telling others about the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead and what all that means for us? Maybe many of us are like Moses who was called, and maybe we say just like Moses, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Oh, my Lord, please send someone else, not me, not me." Just like Moses, we are afraid to take God's word to people we don't know, not knowing what might lie ahead. Many of us will feel a lot more comfortable just witnessing to others with our lives. We tell each other that, well, how I live my life really shows Jesus to other people. Is that always true? Does our lives always reflect Jesus to other people? And how can they really know who Jesus is and what he's actually done by just looking about how you act in life? How can they know Jesus unless we actually tell people about Jesus? Yesterday, I refereed a couple of varsity soccer games over at Hillcrest Academy. Very aggressive game, especially the girls' game. Wow, are those aggressive. They were charging one another, kicking the ball into each other, slide tackling, knocking one another around as they went for the ball. There were times when goals were scored and celebration was huge. They played even harder, and they played it hard to the bitter end. They were physically living life on the edge, giving it everything they had. You would have thought there might have been a few ill feelings and some unfriendly exchange of conversation following that game, that battle on the field. Instead, what I witnessed was the Hillcrest ladies going over to the gals from the other team and asking them if they would like to join them in prayer. What an awesome sight to see every person from both teams, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, in a circle, giving thanks to God for keeping everyone safe in the game and acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of all. Do you think that maybe the Holy Spirit might have been at work in that prayer? Maybe bringing someone even within earshot of what was being said in that prayer by both teams to faith in Jesus Christ? I thought to myself as I was thinking about today, now that's living on the edge. Maybe someday some of them might be LWMLers too. They're just getting ready. Next Sunday, we're going to hear from some of our members who knows what it's like to live on the edge, being with Jesus away from this country. They were with Jesus and his word daily in a personal way and with group and daily devotions and Bible studies as they prepared to go out to the various Bible schools. People living on the edge, telling people young and old that they came in contact with that they've never seen before about the love Jesus has for us. How he came into this world to die for them and to save them. And if you haven't jumped on the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ on the edge, there's another opportunity coming up very soon. Spreading the word of salvation in Jesus Christ by joining the ongoing Ambassadors for Christ as they canvass some of our neighborhoods right here in Fergus Falls. They want us to join them in going out into the neighborhood to share the faith that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, speaking about that faith from our hearts. How many of us can really break through the fears that we have of meeting people where they are and tell them what life is like being with Jesus? What life is like being in the comfort and the peace that Christ brings to our lives? Can you imagine living on the edge, acknowledging Jesus before men? Right here in Fergus Falls, speaking from our very hearts. God promises in his word, and we heard it again today, just like he promised the disciples, he promises us that the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. He didn't just do it for the moment for the disciples. He did it for all time, for all who would come to faith in him. Some people may hear the gospel message and take it to heart for the very first time. Some may hear what you have to say and it will be a wake-up call. Others will rejoice with you as they celebrate what life is like being with Christ and living life on the edge. You who live in the Lord, who live life with Jesus, today I encourage you to continue to live life on the edge. Do you think that those four women who visited Jesus' tomb and had that conversation with their resurrected Lord held it in? How many times do you think they might have told people about what happened to them? I'd say a gazillion times, constantly sharing that good news, that experience that they had with their Savior. We can stand up and say to the world, what do you have to offer us that's better than Jesus? The world has laughed at our Savior. They've laughed at the idea of resurrection from the dead. We are God's witnesses, telling anyone and all who will listen the greatest news of all, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, who wants all people to come and live with Him forever. So go, be inspired to tell your story about what life is like being with Jesus and how life is so much more beautiful living on the edge with our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.